Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F to N Word, along with my spectacular co-host, Miss 100%. And tonight, we will have Miss Enrica Jang of Red Stylo Media, creator of the comic Azteca. So we're gonna talk about her great comic here. And if you're interested in that sort of thing, feel free to give us a call. 646-929-2037. Once again, we have Enrica Jang of Red Stylo Media. You can give us a call. 646-929-2037. Hey, We got some giveaways also tonight. We got a few comics to give away, so be paying attention for that, and you'll have a chance to win a copy of this great comic. Also, we know that some of you may be a little too tad bit shy to call, so feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and I'll, of course, answer your questions, comments, concerns. Also, we have the chat rooms. You can, if you're listening on Blog Talk, you can go into the chat room. I've got some, I'll be posting some links in there on some stuff I'm talking about tonight. Also, if you're lucky enough to be watching my face, that's made for radio on livestream.com/sdrama. Hey, I'll be posting some links, and I'll take your questions there also. And we do social networking. But before I talk about our social networking, Ms. 100%, say hi.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Smooth Drama.
All right. Anyway, we Facebook, Twitter, tag, MySpace, my yearbook, everywhere. If you want to add me on Facebook, tag, MySpace, my yearbook, whatever, LinkedIn, I'm Dick Hugger. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Smooth Drama. And you follow me, I'll follow you. And also, if you want to get at Miss 100%, you can go to the Smooth Drama site and go to our About Us page, and that way you can click on Miss 100% and you have a chance to like her a whole lot. And if you like her, she'll like you back. On that note, speaking of liking, I know everybody and their mama's been talking about it over and over again. Oh, we caught Bin Laden. There's been a whole lot of speculation out there. I myself, you know, if you've listened to our show before, he's been gone for a long, long time, like a decade.
Very long time.
Yeah, he's been dead for a decade or so. I mean, there's actually some documented proof, which I have posted in both the chat rooms. So if you're interested in seeing the links documenting what's been, you know, documented as far as Bin Laden being alive or dead, either way, it's information that you can check into. I myself find it funny. Right in the election year, that Now, Bin Laden, the alleged dead or alive Bin Laden, whatever side of the aisle you on, the dead or alive, because, you know, of course, there's people who are saying, no, he's not dead. And then there's the people who are like, he's been dead forever. And now, me, myself, as I stated earlier, we have said he's been dead. There's the report. He was actually outed as dead as early as 2007 by Benazir Bhutto. Who is Benazir Bhutto? Benazir Bhutto was the Prime Minister of Pakistan 1980 through 1990, and then she was on exile, and then she was Prime Minister of Pakistan 1993 to 96. And she was the leader of the opposition Pakistan People's Party. And after she did an interview, which I have posted in our chat room, after she did her interview, she was subsequently assassinated, allegedly, by Ahmed Omar Saeed Sheikh, or short for Ahmed Omar Sheikh, who happened to be one of the guys who funded about $100,000 to Mustafa Muhammad Ahmed. Well, I'm saying it wrong. He would use the alias Mustafa Muhammad Ahmed, and he sent $100,000 to the United Arab Emirates to Mohammed Atta, who then distributed the funds to conspirators in Florida weeks before 9/11.
9/11, right.
Omar Sheikh is famous because he was part of the crew that killed reporter Daniel Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Also part of that. So it's interesting how all this stuff leads, you know, when you talk about Bin Laden being alive or dead, and then you trace all these people who connected, because Omar Sheikh actually was outed in the video as the killer of Bin Laden, that he killed Bin Laden way back in September 2001. So maybe we killed him twice, and maybe he'll come back. He's that dude in Nostradamus' prophecy. You know, Nostradamus said there were three antichrists. Maybe he comes back a third time. Killed him once, 2001. Killed him twice, 2011. That means we should be killing him again in about 2021 if we work in on that 10 years.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep. Just so y'all would know, I kind of had to address it. I know everybody is up in arms. Everybody, you know, patriotic, flags out. We got Osama bin Laden, you know, and everybody's feeling good about it. I'm saying, seems kind of fishy. No autopsy.
Right. Burial at sea, they just threw him in the ocean.
Yeah, it's a Islamic tradition. That's not an Islamic tradition.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, there were no Muslims that had heard of that either. It's kind of weird. But, hey, I guess we can make up traditions. We can make up killings. We can do whatever. I mean, you know, we live in a world where we kind of are used to people lying to us on a regular, everyday basis. You know, I mean, we get calls from people lying to us every day, all day. We get emails, we call them spam, where people are lying. Hey, I've got $30 billion. If you give me your bank account, I will share it with you because I'm nice to strangers like that.
Okay. And the bad part about it is we are out there, we are just, it's not like they have to do too much convincing. The problem is it's like our minds are so lazy now. We don't want to think beyond what somebody tells us or feeds us. You know, we just want to be hand-fed information instead of, you know, doing the work and actually using our brain cells and trying to think for ourselves. And I myself, I don't want to sound unpatriotic or anything of that nature, but I didn't cheer when, you know, the news came, even if I had not already believed that he was, had been, you know, captured and executed before, you know, now. I didn't cheer and, you know, I didn't feel a sense of, okay, I need to go outside and, you know, chant USA and all of that. I know how I felt when I saw the Pakistani people burning the American flag and urinating on it, and they were happy because all of our people were killed on September 11th. So, you know, that same feeling rose up in me when they said, you know, well, we captured and killed Osama or Usama? Why are they spelling it so many different ways?
Well, Usama.
When they said that, I didn't feel any, you know, need to jump up and run around the house and cheer and all of that, you know. And then I also, I had the feeling of, okay, so what's next, you know. And but then I noticed that they kept replaying it over and over and over for what has it been now, almost 72 hours. They just won't let up. So it's almost as if we're being terrorized all over again. If you remember how it felt that day, for them to keep constantly bringing those images up, you know, it doesn't feel free to me.
Well, my issue is this. And it may be seem a little petty to other people, but there was stuff that was DVR'ing that was wiped out because it was all Osama bin Laden talked for like 3-4 hours on Sunday, and then it came back and it wiped out a couple of things on my DVR on Monday. Also, you know, I would have preferred that I would have the choice. It's sort of like what happened with OJ. I wanted to watch the game. If I wanted to switch over and watch him go 25 miles an hour on the freeway, I would have. But it's kind of forced down your throat. And I'm just saying I would have rather watch Desperate Housewives and not the Osama bin Laden news. But that's just me. On that note, we're going to go on a real brief commercial break, and then we'll be back with Ms. Enrique James.
Mr. President, have you seen FEMA? Have you seen the Lord Knight's War Post Katrina? Niggas suffering trying to find something tangible. The MPs are treating all the youth like animals. Then wonder why the cops getting rocked like Mosley. Why niggas on the TV in the spot like Cozy? Now Houston got a problem, Atlanta got a problem, Dallas, Alabama, and Miami got a problem. Niggas wildin' out, living free, yelling sovereign. 38 revolving, crack rock brawling. Tats on their face that say Uptown New Orleans. Blasting on sight, fuck fight, fuck Auckland. Meanwhile, boatloads of cash go to Israel. Soldiers in Iraq pray to God for a miracle. Sam Cooke said that change was coming. If not, you could bet your ass change is coming. Change is coming. Change is coming.
Together you got to move. Flumber.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That, forgot to add, was J Electronica. Live it. You know, if we don't get everything together, danger's coming, and it seems like we got a little more danger. Well, they're reporting that danger is definitely coming. Be on the lookout now. We're on, like, Terror Alert, DEFCON 12. Or 13 now. and we are trying to get Miss Jane on the phone so that we talk. So Red Stylo Media. Or something along those lines. Okay. We don't want to do that. We want to talk to Miss Jane. Enrica! We want to talk to you.
Hello.
Hello, Miss Jane. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call.
So how are you doing this evening?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I'm in Savannah, Georgia this weekend.
Oh.
For a show.
Okay. All right. In Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah. I'm going to take the East Coast by storm.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've definitely taken the West Coast by storm because I'm blown away by the comic. We're talking about for the people listening, we're talking about Azteca, the comic, which is also a motion comic also.
Yeah. That's right, yes.
It's a story for me. I'm just enthralled with it. A town at the crossroads, you got corruption, you got the vigilante killer right in the middle of a tourist resort. I can't wait. Now tell me, what inspired Azteca?
Oh, gosh, lots of stuff went into it. First of all, this 2012 coming up, great opportunity to kind of get involved in the mythology, Aztec mythology, Mesoamerican mythology. There aren't a lot of Hispanic superheroes, or anti-heroes, or even just comics. So it was a good, the market was good for it. On a personal level, my grandmother lived in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I follow the news along the border and seeing all of these stories coming out of Mexico, just a lot of violence and a lot of an uncertain situation for regular people on the ground, and you always think, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to do something. Who's going to do something? And in comics, somebody can do something. And so that was the impetus. That's what started it.
All right. So, I mean, for me, when I'm reading it, and I see that, of course, it mirrors life. You were talking about the violence in Mexico. I mean, we know, paying attention to the news, that life is kind of imitating art, or vice versa. I don't know. It's like the chicken and the egg conversation.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's hard to imagine that it's happening so close, and the stories that you hear are beyond belief. It is like a story. Somebody's writing this,
So,
a lot of people are hurting.
So tell us, what is the plot, and what does the superhero or mythological characterization, how does that play into the whole story? I know it's based off the 212 mythos that's out there.
Yeah. Well, it's set in Mexico about a vigilante serial killer who thinks he can stop the world from ending in 2012.
Hmm.
And it's a reverse Aztec Mesoamerican mythology. The idea is that the Aztecs used to sacrifice millions of innocent people, virgins, children, warriors, all in an effort to stop the cycle of the end of the world, and offer them as human sacrifice to see the god Zorgas. This character, our hero, quote-unquote hero, his name is Nietzsche, and he believes that with 2012 approaching, clearly they got it wrong, that if he goes after murderers, and he goes after evil men and women, and offers the blood of the wicked as human sacrifice, he can revive these old rituals and convince the gods that there's something worth saving. Yeah, kill off all the good people. Why would anybody save with that? That's his whole belief system. He's reviving these Aztec rituals. He's hunting down the people who are responsible for terrorizing innocents and squashing innocents and goes after them does some bad stuff to them. So.
Well, yeah, he does some really bad stuff to them.
It's kind of the bedtime story.
Well, I mean that's a very interesting concept. I mean, because technically he's looking at it from a historical perspective that hey, well, we sacrificed the virgins and the innocent, the pure, and it didn't work. So maybe if I go in reverse and we sacrifice all of the bad people.
You gotta kill somebody. Why not, kill the bad guys? It's revenge fantasy too. I mean, it's when you do think about, you read these horrible stories and think about the terrible situation, your first thought is somebody should go in and just take care of it. Somebody should just do something. And, in comics, that can happen. In comics, it can be.
Yeah.
A little different. But,
Well, I mean, when I read it, I immediately thought that, if it was only that easy.
But it's never that easy. And even in this story, we had to set the scene, in the first issue, we're talking kind of introducing people to the situation. But as things go along, you've got a lot of people who they don't want that either. They don't want, blood and they don't want to be saved if it means that we have to kill off our humanity to do it. And so we'd rather redeem people or save people than just kill them and write them off. Because everybody is somebody's son or daughter. Everybody is somebody's brother. In a comic, you get to really play with this stuff and make a lot of people suffer in a comic book in order to kind of explore the story and do that. But I'm really happy that you like the story. It's really great. The response has been wonderful. Talking to people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a magnificent story. I would say that it would be not good for business either way. I mean, obviously, tourists, they hear that people are being cut up in the streets. That doesn't inspire me to want to go on vacation in Paraguay.
This is true. I visited Mexico 7 years ago. 7 or 8 years ago, actually, a while ago. And it's such a beautiful country. And if you love to explore the world and you love to meet regular people, and thing is, most of the people on the planet, like, bad things happen everywhere, but most of the people on the planet, they just want to get through the day. They just want to feed their families, and they want to, kiss the girlfriend, and they want to, just have a life, and they're not trying to hurt anybody else.
Right.
And with so many forces out of your control, and normal, regular people don't seem to matter. You want to give them a hero, and you want to give them kind of some hope and find some hope. And I don't know. It's very, I'm the writer, and so I think about this stuff just really deeply for the comic book. But I hope it comes through in the story. I'm really glad that people are picking up on it. And
well, I mean, but that's the point. You know, when I see a story, you know, I look at, okay, how can I be captivating as you as a writer? You're captivating the audience because, okay, I've got this idea and I've got this concept, and you're fleshing out all sides. I think that's very important. I mean, because a lot of times you'll get stuck with the ambiguity of good and evil, but you know, what makes someone good, what makes someone evil? I think this story has the potential to touch on that. And just when you're talking about a guy who feels like, I kill all the evil people, and that would be good.
But who are the evil people? Then you start to ask questions. Yeah, I know. This week especially has been such a crazy week, you know. I was driving home from, you know, a comic convention and thinking about my story and whatever, and then I woke up the next morning and the news story, number one, murdering monster on the planet, is gone. And you want to believe the world is better for it. You want to believe that that actually means something, that getting rid of that bad guy is going to change the world. And it might.
In the comic book, it would mean the end. That would be the end of the story, and all the heroes would go home, kiss the baby, whatever. I don't hear anybody saying we're going to leave Afghanistan.
Nope. I know you can't. Yeah. No, it's not even what that man, I mean, it's what that man was and what he did and what he planned, but it's also what he, this horrible thing that he created, and it's still out there. And so how many people, you hear these questions people are asking themselves, and this is a very personal thing for me. My husband's been in the Army for 23 years, and he served in Iraq for 14 months, and it's always hanging over us that, you know, he might have to go to Afghanistan. And so this is a very personal thing for me, because, you know, he's a soldier, and I love him very, very much, and would end.
Yeah, we all have relatives in the military, so it's been thought I've got a couple cousins in the military that, you hear this kind of stuff, and you would hope that since you say you got the guy, are we done?
Yeah. We're not, and that's a sad thing. That's the reality. A lot of people ask me, especially since our story kind of focuses around 2012, like everybody kind of giggles a little bit when I tell them, hey, it's about his guy. It can stop the world from ending. And he's like, well, you know, what if it doesn't end, then what are you going to do? And the answer to that, I always love to kind of like smile a little bit and say, well, then it works, didn't it?
Yeah, I know. But then I ask the question because, you know, that's sort of like up in the air. We have roughly 7 months left.
Yeah.
Before she in here. So, I guess I'm rooting for homie to, if he's really alive, do what you do.
So how do you prove something didn't work? You know, I could go out and do a rain dance on my front lawn, and then it could rain in the afternoon. And just because I was out there dancing like a moron on my front lawn doesn't mean I had anything to do with cloud gathering over my house. So. One of the things that you can't prove it didn't work.
I can probably guarantee you'll probably get like a 5-minute video on YouTube.
I'll post that just for you. I'll send that your way and I'll go and see how that works.
Our crazy neighbor Enrica was out there doing some kind of dance. Check her out.
And then it rained. And then it rained.
She has special powers. Now, you as a writer, I know you've written some other things. As example, your screenplay, The Freshman, was made into a short film, Frenemies. Talk about your Frenemies movie. I saw the trailer, thought it was very interesting. I'd like to hear a little bit about it.
Well, thank you for mentioning it, actually. It's a great opportunity to tell everybody that Frenemies just won two awards at American University's Film Awards last weekend. And so that happened. I was at Boston Comic Con, and I couldn't get to the awards ceremony, but it's a short film about these two girls who grew up together. They were best friends. And, you know, the friend that you have when you're a little girl, when you're a little kid, that's such a defining friendship. But two girls, and then they grow up. And one girl gets popular in high school, and the other girl doesn't. And it's all about, you know, these two girls trying to, you know, one's trying to hang on to this friend, to a friend, while, you know, her popular pretty friend is kind of going off without her. And it's a short film, but there's a little bit of picking on sexting and parties and drinking and a little bit of the teenage kind of teenage technology and all this stuff going on right now. So
yeah, all the stuff that I missed out on. didn't get a chance to do any sexting or any of that as a teenager. Like, oh, I missed out.
I don't know. I think teenage boys get the better end of this deal. You've got some high school girls who get, you know, the pretty advanced. And sometimes I feel like it's like these girls are jumping into a swimming pool and they have no idea how deep it is.
Oh.
Or not deep, as it were.
No. Hold on. You said that the teenage boys have it better than the teenage
I think so. They're the ones getting the text.
Oh, okay, but the boys are giving the text back. I think it's two ways. I mean, because we are talking about teenage boys. Teenage boys have no problem sending pictures of their junk.
Oh, no. And I think you feel like teenage boys. It used to be before internet and stuff, and I'm old enough to kind of remember this a little bit. Before internet, you had to go to that store, you know, that shop on that corner somewhere else. You couldn't just sit in your room in your computer and get all this stuff delivered straight to you. So, I don't know, listening to my guy friends talk about how they used to, you know, grab National Geographic and sneak down to the basement, and there's just no access to it. And it seems that teenage boys these days, it's a little easier to kind of get that stuff. But
it's easier to get that stuff, but I don't think that it's easier per se. I mean, because just like men have access to it, women have equal access.
True. But if you're a teenage kid and you're trying to experiment and stuff, being able to get that stuff where, when you're my age, you know, it was a little bit harder to get your hands on, you know, magazines or videos, or you had to sneak to that stuff. So,
all right. Oh, no. We couldn't even sneak into the store. We didn't even have one.
It seems to me if you have to sneak around to do it, you're thinking about it a little harder. Like if you can sneak around and get away with it, okay. But if you don't sneak around, you're dumb enough to get caught. But
yeah,
there's no sneaking now. It's like it's on your phone, it's on your iPad, it's on your computer, it's everywhere. And these, you know, young boys can like get it. And girls too. I mean, I'm not going to say the girls don't look at this stuff.
No,
younger girls like sending pictures of their bodies to their boyfriend that, as a woman, it's kind of like they have no idea, you know, what they're doing when, how important, what the problem is when they're doing that. And then it's, once it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
You can't take it back. It's on the internet forever, and that follows you. And
The power of the internet, not only can it do powerful marketing, but it also can do that negative marketing also.
Oh, yes. Men and women are more, it's an even playing field now, but it's still, I believe, it still hurts girls.
Well, I mean, it's a male-dominated society, so, I mean...
You're fixing it. It's changing, but it's not there yet.
we're not quite there yet. But, like I said, it's changing. Eventually, you'll be able to, I guess, say that men are equal to...
I'm interested to see like how people respond to the movie, because this is very much a girl versus girl kind of thing too. Like, if you're a pretty girl and popular, there's a different set of rules than for a girl who, you know, isn't so popular, isn't maybe.
Well, I mean,
Actually, both actresses in the film are very, very pretty, but in, you know.
Right. But, I mean,
when we
look at your movie Frenemies as an example, you would say that girls, it's one of those things we always laugh about. If you have a quote-unquote pretty girl, she will surround herself with ugly girls so that she would be the shining light. So, I mean... Just speculating. Maybe she doesn't think that she's ugly enough, her friends, and so I can't hang with you because you're competition.
Well, that's the whole frenemies thing, right? It's, you know, your friends, but she's that, like, she's going to end up under the bus when it comes down to it. Who do you?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, what she did to her in the trailer was dirty. That. I'm like, wow, come on now. Y'all childhood friends. You can't even talk to your childhood friend because she's too pretty?
Getting you, I can tell. I can hear the tension.
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm going to get over it. I think I'm going to get over it. Now, I saw something. I got to ask you. I saw that you got some special credits on one of my favorite comics, Black Panther. Were you involved in the writing of Black Panther?
I wish I could say that. I cannot say that. I was very lucky, though. I interned for two terms at Marvel, and I got to work with Axel Alonso, and this was he was executive editor then. He wasn't editor in chief of Marvel yet. And I got to work with Axel and his assistant editor Sebastian Gerner on Black Panther, and that was a great opportunity. I got to meet Reggie Hudlin and spend some time just in a room with these guys. It was great. It was a really great experience, and I got to work on three of the books.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you worked on what, Flies to a Spider, The Wolverine One Shot, Runaways, and X Infernus.
You can do your homework. Oh, I'm touched.
Just a little bit.
I got to work in the X office, and I got to tell you, it was the coolest thing. People ask me why I like comics, and when my baby brother was, when he was like, five. He's 20. He's 20 now, and I still call him my baby brother. But he was 5 or 6, and he started following X-Men. He was watching the cartoons, collecting the cards, and he was reading the comics, and he got me hooked. And then later on, you know, he kind of moved on. He wasn't so interested in later. So I got all the cards, and I got all the comics, and I never stopped watching the cartoons. So years later, I get to work in the X office at Marvel. It was just the coolest thing.
I've never stopped either. I'm an unashamed nerd. I call myself an alpha nerd. I can talk and socialize with people and get a nerd at the same time.
The whole hybrid of nerd.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, there are some nerds that just, they're not meant for human consumption. You know, like,
you're talking about some of my best friends, okay?
No, you're my friends too, but you know that there are some people, they just, them in the public, they don't mix.
No, I know. But you gotta love them because they're so special.
Yeah, oh.
You know, everybody's special.
Yeah, I people with imagination, people who dare to read nowadays, seems like reading is a dying art for some strange reason. It's sad.
I think our good stuff has become so popular too. So it's like almost like being a geek has become kind of cool. Like you got these great TV shows, Big Bang Theory, and you go to these comic conventions, and it almost doubles in size every year.
Yeah.
So.
That they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I see individuals like yourself who raise the bar with the things that you write that are different from the everyday rigmarole that you see out. So I try to promote and celebrate that because the lack of imagination out there is breathtaking.
You just said something very, very nice to me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm buttering you up.
Buttering me up. Okay, you'll get that T-shirt. You'll get this. You'll get that issue. I promise.
Hey, I just want a cameo in the movie. And I just walk across the street. I don't want to die. I just want to walk across the street. And I'm done. That's all I need.
That's really funny. Actually, it's funny because sometimes people, like, they want to be in the comic book, and I always expect that they want to kind of be, like, psychic or something, and that's never the case. Whenever somebody asks me if they can be in the book, they're always asking, can you kill me?
Yeah.
Can you kill me? Rip my heart out and splash me across, you know, the middle of your comic book. I'm like, sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to be that guy. I don't want to die. I don't want to die in the book. I want to live forever like Fame.
I've never met so many people who are so eager to die. But I'm glad that, you know, you got the will to live. So we really can just
I have the extreme will to live. So now tell me, what else do you have upcoming? Well, tell me about your upcoming projects. I was reading that you have some other things that you plan on releasing later on this year.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Well, we're continuing with Azteca. Right now, issue 3 is in production. It's going to be out later this summer. And then all 3 of the issues are going to be collected in the trade in September. So that's a big deal. Like every one of the issues is a big deal, and, you know, anytime someone picks up a comic, I wish I could tell them and realize how much time went into this. You're going to love it because that's going to be great. And so, as Sector 3 is coming up, the new trade's coming up. Depending on how successful, you know, this is, we have plans to turn Azteca into a monthly in 2012, starting in December. So, interesting how that goes.
I see you're being ambitious and you're being optimistic because you're feeling like 2012 we'll still be here.
And, oh yeah,
right.
Because it's gonna work.
All right,
because you're gonna win.
All right, because I mean, if something changes, let me know because there are some things I want to do before the end.
Okay.
I don't want to find out like 10 minutes before. Like, come on, dog, I only got 10 minutes left. So.
That would almost be better. Yeah, I think people might fall into 2 different camps on that one. The people who want to know and the people who don't want to know.
All right. Well, I want to know. Speaking of want to know, tell people where they can find
that
camp. Yeah. Tell people where they can find that
second. You should ask the listeners. Listeners, what would you rather? Would you rather know and have a year to plan this thing, or would you rather find out 10 minutes ahead of time so that you can just go?
So, what the hell
are
you
going to
do in 10 minutes, man?
Actually, you know what? I had a very good friend who, unfortunately, his stepfather, he loved very much, he passed away. And the one thing that kind of took away from the situation, I'll never forget, he said that, you know, you really know whether your life's going well if you find out something's happening to you and you can say to yourself, you know, I'm doing exactly what I want to do, and I'm just so ticked off I can't keep doing it. Mm. And, you know, if you were to find out that, you know, it was time to go, and then you're just angry because all the things you hadn't done yet, or if you were just angry because you couldn't keep doing all the things you would love to do now, I think that tells you something about your life.
Well, yeah, that's an astute observation there. That's a unique thinking point for those people who aren't living their life the way they feel they should. I mean, that could be a wake up call. You got 7 months.
You never know, Lucha might be coming for you and you're gonna rip your head out, so
yeah.
All right, but
before we let you go, tell the people where they can find Azteca.
Oh, okay, great. Visit Azteca2012.com. We've got a blog with the various updates coming up, and the shows that we're going to be attending. The next show that we're going to be at is Big Apple Spring Edition in New York City. And then we're going to be at Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm trying to hit some West Coast shows coming up, and definitely going to be at San Diego Comic-Con later this year. But at Azteca2012.com, they can pick up the comics, they can pick up the T-shirt, they can read more about this series and see the first chapter of the Motion Comic.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Ms. Jane, for coming on the show. And
this has been great. I really enjoyed this. Thank you very, very much.
Oh. And when you're coming out with the trade, whatnot, feel free to come back and let us know. You know, keep us up to date and talk about it some more.
Will do, I promise. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. And you have a good night.
All right, you too, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that was Miss Enrica Jane of Red Stylo Media. Hope I'm saying that right. Writer of the comic and web comic Azteca. Check it out at www.azteca.com 2012. Or is it? No, Azteca2012.com. Yeah. I'm slurring my words here. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk a taste on it.
It's like smooth drummer.
Yes, sir.
Like smooth drummer.
Yes, sir.
Like smooth drummer.
Yes, sir.
Listen here, man. It's your boy, Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool. With my man, DH. Y'all know him as. And Butter Butter Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
Together you gotta be smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Big Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word, and my absolutely fabulous, yet disturbingly quiet co-host, Miss 100%. and she's still quiet. Anyway, now I know a lot of y'all saw what went on this week. It was a lot of stuff that went on this weekend. They had the beginning of the week, they had the so-called royal wedding. I don't know how many of y'all paid attention to it. I know I didn't. But I think that what's important, I mean, to me, is the perceptions of the so-called royal wedding. I know everybody was caught up in the glitz and the glamour. I'm like, but why are we celebrating these people? I mean, we're celebrating them, saying they're royalty because they are born. I mean, you're born royalty, but why are they born royalty? Anybody want to chop in on? I don't get it. I will never understand it. I mean, I was actually jumping for joy here, being the hater that I am. And yes, I am a hater. When I saw that there's a group of people who were against it. You know, they're like, nah, we're not going to be having no, we're not going to be celebrating no monarchy. You know, why should we? Why are we paying for this entitlement? These people who are entitled to their tax-paying money. I mean, what makes them so special? I mean, as we know, historically speaking, the people who become monarchs are normally the descendants of somebody who killed a whole lot of people. And they were entitled because of this mass murderer or line of mass murderers. And thus you have a royal court. And so, you know, you have this $1 million wedding that I didn't watch, didn't care to watch, didn't care nothing about it. And of course, the people over there, they're going to foot the bill for it. And they're going to foot the bill going forward to these people for the rest of their lives. And their children are going to bear the burden also for these people. Why? I don't see them as special. And never will. I mean, I read a story over in Britain that kind of put things in perspective. There was a teenager, Melissa Jones, who, after gastric band surgery, she's now a functioning anorexic. And she's been told that after her surgery, and now she's anorexic, she's been given 6 months to live because she's not eating enough to sustain her body. And it goes back to the self-esteem, how you are. Well, how you are mentally is how you are physically. And I mean, basically, this is a young lady who, for all intents and purposes, won't eat because of her intense fear of becoming overweight again. And it's killing her. And you know, and this is all part of a bigger picture of a society that makes individuals believe in there's a quote unquote hierarchy of beauty. Sort of like we have hierarchies in class, so-called hierarchies in class, you have hierarchies in standards of beauty. You know, people don't want to look at diversity, and there's diversity of beauty. You know, we're stuck on one standard of beauty, and if you don't fit that standard of beauty, well, tough to me. And you know, that's why we're stuck where we're at socially, culturally. You know, and this Melissa Jones, who's only 21, she's lost so much weight. I mean, the doctors told her before the surgery that she had to take action or she was going to die within months. And now, after she's had the surgery, the doctors are telling her she has to eat or she's going to die within months. And, you know, that we're talking about the happy medium. You know, mental self-determination. We don't have that, unfortunately. You know, we have either or. There's no in between, and that's why I think we're at as far as society goes, and we focus more on the differences than what we have, you know, in common. Not that anybody cares, because we ain't got nothing in common. Before I get off here, we've got three Azteca comics. Miss Enrica Jane was nice enough to give us three Azteca comics along with some stickers. So if you want a chance to win, you can either call in the show now, 646-929-2037, last minute, or you can email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, but you have to put Azteca in the line. The first three emailers, they will be the receivers of this great comic, Azteca. So once again, if you call in now, 646-929-2037, I got you. Or if you're catching this on the archive, feel free, email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, but in the byline, you got to put Azteca 2012, and the first three emailers, you will be the receiver of this magnificent comic. Excuse me. And trust me, it is well worth your time to read this comic. It's a great comic. And I want people to also go to their site, but you want this comic. I promise you, it's worth your time to read the motion comic with any justice. And on that note, I want to thank Miss Enrica Jane of Red Stylo Media for coming on the show. I want to thank my co-host, Miss 100%, for being the great co-host that she is. And I want to thank you, the listener, for listening to the show. And on that note, Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama, we out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you've got smooth drama.